earlier in the course of this recording, we showed you how to create, edit, and navigate documents. But what happens once you save those documents? Let's say you have a document saved and it's saved to Documents, for instance, but you really need to put it in its own folder. Let's say you are creating the Great American Novel, or you have a group of recipes that you want to put in one place, or you have a journal, and for some reason you're doing it in Documents by year. So you have 2001, 2002, 2003, 2004, and you want each of those to be in their own, not only file, but their own folder. Let's say you're doing the 2000s, the 1990s, the 1980s. You want to chronicle your journal in decades in folders. Well, the point to this ramble is to let you know that you can, in fact, move items from one place to the other. And this is all part of file management. File management is, I think, and many of you would probably agree with me, one of the most difficult concepts to explain. And we do a much more cohesive job, as it were, talking about this in our Windows 10 tutorial. But we want to give you a little sampling, because when you're learning a new device, on top of doing a task such as file management that might already be intimidating and stressful for you, you want to make sure that you're feeling as confident as you can in doing it. So we want to show you a bit about how to manage your files using the Inside One itself.
Some commands that you will be using when you are working with file management are cut, copy, and paste. And those are Control X, Control C, and Control V. There are two ways to create those commands. As we've stated a number of times throughout this documentation, you can press C with 0 for Control, and then you can press C again for Control C. You can do the same for X and V. So C0 for Control and then X, C0 for Control and then V. However, you can also create the command in one keystroke. So Inside Vision has added a couple of keystrokes that essentially do Control C, Control X, or Control V.
So you don't have to worry about stressing over, oh, I have to do this keystroke and then this keystroke. It's one shot, essentially, to convey that one action.
So you would press C with 90, that's Control C. You would press X with 90, and that is Control X. You would press V, but not with 90, that is 80. So V is the only one that's different in this group of three keys. So again, you got C90 for Control C, you've got X90 for Control X, and you've got V80 for Control V. So cut, copy, and paste.
And remember that these commands respectively stand for Control C, copy, Control X, cut, Control V, paste.
So I will be on the desktop in about 2 seconds, and we're going to go into this PC. So I have actually just turned my Inside One back on, and I'm going to bring up the keyboard, and you normally do that by
Braille keyboard.
All 6 fingers on dots 1 through 6, hold them for about 2 seconds, and you get that little message to let you know that the Braille keyboard is on. So now we're going to go to the desktop.
Folder view list, Dropbox 1 of 16.
And you used the button to do that, so what command is that?
That is double tapping the button, or you can do Windows D. So you can press W0 and then D, or you can double tap the button. Again, you guys are always going to know when I use a button gesture or some kind of gesture, because it does make the little sounds. Now, if I wanted to, I could go in and turn those sounds off so you wouldn't know.
That's right, and that is found within Control. And we actually show you that in the Getting Started guide.
So now that I'm on the desktop, I'm going to press the letter T.
E. This PC 5 of 16.
And I'm going to press Enter.
This PC window. Tree view. Level 1, this PC expanded 2 of 4. Items view list. Folders grouping expanded. 3D objects not selected 1 of 12.
So we are in this PC. If you've used previous versions of Windows, it was also called My Computer. You are actually in what's called File Explorer. So it lets you explore your files or folders on your computer. So I'm going to go down and explore what we have here.
Desktop 2 of 12. Documents 3 of 12. downloads for 12.
So we have various folders that you can check out. If you have any network storage devices attached, such as an external drive, an SD card, a thumb drive, those will also be found here. But what I'd like Chris to do is pick one of these folders and go to the right, because you can actually get some really interesting information about the folders contained in this PC.
Downloads 4 of 12. Documents 3 of 12.
Now I'm going to go to the right.
Type edit system folder read only row 3 type column 2. Total size edit read only row 3 total size column 3. Free space edit read only row 3 free space column 4.
That's information that you would get. However, we are pointing at a pointer. We're not actually in the folder or looking at the folder. You're looking at a reference point. For example, downloads is actually located on your hard drive, on drive C, in a folder called users, then your login name, and then the word downloads. So instead of going to C, users, your name, downloads, you would come into this PC and you would find downloads and it would magically put it there. So let's look at another item that should actually work and give us more information. I'm going to go back to the left.
Total size edit read only. Type edit system folder. Documents 3 of 12. Downloads 4 of 12. Music 5 of 12. Picture 6 of 12. Video 7 of 12. Devices and drives grouping expanded. Devices and drives, 3, expanded. Local disk, C, 8 of 12.
Now we can go to the right.
Type edit local disk read only row 8 type column 2. Total size edit 56.8 GB read only row 8 total size column 3. Free space edit 16.0 GB read only row 8 free space column 4.
And that's information about my hard drive. Now let's go back to the left.
Total size edit, type edit local disk, C, 8 of 12. Secure digital storage device, D, 9 of 12.
There's my SD card that I have inserted in the micro SD card slot on the left side, and I'm going to go to the right.
Type edit SD card read only row 9 type column 2. Total size edit 239 GB read only row 9 total size column 3. Free space edit 238 GB read only row 9 free space column 4.
So my SD card is pretty much empty.
Another nice thing about working in this PC is that if you know the first letter of the folder that you're looking for, you can just press it and you will move directly to that folder.
So let's go back to the left.
Total size edit 2. Type edit SD card read. Secure digital storage device. D. 9 of 12.
Make sure that we are there. Now I'm going to press the letter D.
D. Folders grouping expanded. Desktop 2 of 12.
And because desktop is the first item that starts with a letter D, that's where we're taken from where we are.
So I'm going to, now that we've landed on the desktop, because that's a folder, I'm going to go down.
Documents 3 of 12.
And there's my documents folder. So I'm going to press enter.
Tree view. Level 2 documents collapse 3 of 10. Items view list. Add and not selected 1 of 10.
So I'm in my documents folder. Now let's explore. If I remember correctly, I've got a file in here because I don't remember my name half the time. So let's see if that's still there.
BrailleMath 2 of 10. Dolphin Easy Reader 3 of 10. Enregistrements Audio 4 of 10. Guide Connect 5 of 10. Home 6 of 10. Inside 1 7 of 10. Cred 8 of 10. Tools and Drivers 9 of 10.
And these are all folders.
Names.rtf 10 of 10.
There's names.rtf.
So if you noticed, my folders were in alphabetical order, and then my files, and because I've only got one file in my documents folder, it's at the bottom.
So if you had a whole bunch of files and folders in here, your folders would be listed first in alphabetical order, with any folders that begin with numbers coming first, and then all your folders in alphabetical order, followed by files the same way. So they'd start with numbers and then A, B, C, D, E, all the way down to the bottom.
If I pressed enter on this, it would open in a word processor because it is a word processor file, because it's an RTF for rich text format. If I want to move this somewhere else, I can do that. I can create a new folder and then I can move this into that folder. I can move this to my SD card and put something actually on my SD card if I wanted to.
You can really move it to your desktop to work on it wherever you want or whenever you want to get easy access to it.
Exactly. You can put it wherever you want to put it.
So what do you want to do with it?
I want to make a new folder. So I'm going to make a new folder. And to do that, I can go into the ribbon or I can press Control Shift N for a new folder. Let's try that and see what happens. So we're going to do C with 0.
CTRL pressed.
Shift, which is S with 0.
Shift pressed.
And then N.
New folder edit selected new folder.
And it says selected new folder. So if Chris wants to give this a better name than new folder, he can type straight from here and it will type over new folder and create a new folder name.
I'm going to call my folder T.
T. Selection remove E.
S.
T. T.
And then I'm going to press enter.
Test 11 of 11.
So I have a new folder. It's called test. And it's at the bottom of my list for now. So let's go up to
names.rtf 10 of 11.
My name's file. If this is an important vital file that you are going to move to a different folder that you don't want any chance of losing, at this point, I would probably copy it instead of cutting it. If something happens during the cut procedure, you might run the risk of losing that file. And if it's your great American novel that you are writing and your publisher is expecting it the next day and you lose it for whatever reason, you're not going to be a happy camper.
The other thing that can happen in the course of doing something like this is, let's say you cut something to your clipboard and then you get distracted. Your kid wants something. Something was burning in the oven, whatever. You come back to it. You don't know if you've done it or not. You go to put something else on your clipboard and you go, oh, no, because you have already cut that to your clipboard.
Windows these days, though, is a little more forgiving about that. You don't lose the file until you move it. So until you paste it during the paste process. So if you did what Kim suggested and cut something else, as long as you didn't paste the first time, the file doesn't move from the original location. You could lose it during the actual copying process.
Especially if it's a big, huge file.
Right. If
the
you have a
the file,
gig.
Yeah.
Yes. This isn't, so realistically, I could do whatever I want to do with it. But for now, I'm going to copy it. So I'm sitting on my file name, and I'm going to press C with 90. It doesn't say anything.
Test 11 of 11.
It worked. I flicked down on the right slider to hit the down arrow key, and now I'm going to press enter. And we should be in our empty folder. And there's really no way of telling because, as you can see, there's nothing there. Well, I suppose if you weren't in there, it would go up and down your folder list. So I think we're safe.
What's on your display?
My display says the folder name. It says 11 of 11. So it's a little misleading, but you are actually in the folder.
Well, let's find out. Let's try to paste that.
So I'm going to press V with 8 and 0.
So in this case, your right hand is doing all the work, essentially.
I'm going to do it the other way, and I'm going to press C with 0.
CTRL pressed.
And then V.
Progress. Test window. Items view list. Names.rtf 1 of 1.
For me, that seems to be a little bit better of a command. My right pinky doesn't want to do that for whatever reason. It's just
weird. He doesn't
weird.
Like those dot 8s and dot 7s very much.
Yeah, it seems kind of odd to me, so I chose to do C with 0 and then V. So you can do it either way.
You can do it either comfortable way. In Chris's case, the first way didn't work. Both ways might end up working for you, or you might have his issue and only have one way work. For me, I also like Control X, Control C, Control V for cut, copy, paste, just because I'm used to it. So I don't mind the extra millisecond it's going to take me to press V, C, or X.
The advantage, too, of doing C with 0, then X, C with 0, then C, and C with 0, then V, is you get that, at least that first confirmation that Control was pressed.
Yes.
So you do get that. Now, this is the only file in this folder. And I just hit the down arrow key to see what's there, and it is there. So let's take a look at what's in the context menu. So we can bring up the context menu by pressing M with 90.
Remember M for menu.
Right. Or we can do a two-finger triple tap on the bottom slider, which I like sounds, so that's what we will do.
Context menu.
And now we can scroll down with the down arrow key and see what we have.
Open O. Edit E. New N. Print P. Share with Skype. Convenient OCR with JAWS O. 7-zip submenu 7. CRC SHA submenu. Scan with Windows Defender. Share. Open with submenu H. Give access to submenu G. Restore previous versions V. Send to submenu N. Cut T. Copy C.
So here's your cut, your copy.
Create shortcut S.
Your create shortcut.
Delete D.
You can delete it.
Rename M.
Rename it.
Properties R.
So you can get the properties of the file, how big it is, and a bunch of other information.
Open O.
And now we're back to open.
To open. Right. Let's talk about a couple more of these items that you can do here that may assist you in your file management. So create a shortcut. You could, from here, create a shortcut to make finding and opening this document or whatever it happened to be for you a much easier process. So that's an option. You could open a new document or create a new document directly from here. You could also open an existing document from here. One that I often use is open with. So let's say this is names.rtf. It normally opens in Jart because we created it in Jart. So let's say Jart is your default, which it probably is. If you wanted to open in something else, like WordPad, for instance, you could do open with, and you can probably find WordPad in that grouping of applications with which you can open this RTF file and go ahead and open it with WordPad instead, should you wish to do that. You can print it. You also have the send to. And let's actually look at send to, because that one is kind of interesting and you can do all kinds of interesting things with it. We talk more about this in the Windows 10 tutorial, but send to does allow you to do some cool things with your files.
I did want to mention before we go into send to about the shortcut option. If you create a shortcut here, it's actually going to create the shortcut here. You would have to go into this PC, go to documents, go to the folder, find the shortcut and open it. So in that instance, what I would do is I would cut that shortcut and put it on the desktop.
And in that case, remember, you'd be cutting the shortcut that you just created, not the file itself. So you'll know that it's a shortcut because it'll tell you in the file name, at least when you initially create it, that it's a shortcut. So you'll know.
And a shortcut is a pointer to the file. It's not the file itself.
It's not the file itself. So don't worry. If you find a shortcut and you go, oops, I'm going to delete this. I deleted my file. No, you didn't. You just deleted your shortcut.
Properties R. Rename M. Delete D. Create shortcut S. Copy C. Cut T. Send to submenu N.
Here's send to. Notice it tells you it's a submenu.
Send to menu. Bluetooth device B.
So you can send it to a Bluetooth device. If you had a cell phone, you could copy it to the cell phone. If you had a Bluetooth printer, you could do it that way.
Compressed. Zipped. Folder C. Desktop, create shortcut, D.
There is where you can create a shortcut to it on your desktop. So that's even an easier way to create a shortcut on your desktop to go through the send to menu.
Destinataire detail ICOPD.
That is in French, and my French isn't good enough to know what that said, so can't help you there.
Documents D.
So you could literally send it back to your documents folder. In this example, it would be in the test folder, and you would copy it back to your documents folder. That's kind of a neat way to do it, too.
Fax recipient F.
You can fax it.
Mail recipient M.
Email it.
Team viewer T.
Now that's an interesting little thing that you could choose to do. Let's say you had a document. Let's say somebody sent you a PDF and it was completely inaccessible. You could send this to Team Viewer for someone to look at for you and read it to you.
Right. Let's say you didn't have Adobe Reader or any way to read PDFs on your device. Then in that case, you would send it to Team Viewer so that the other person could open it on their machine or whatever.
Or let's say it was one of those protected PDFs that is just not accessible no matter how you slice it with a screen reader and you have no way to OCR it.
Secure digital storage device, DS.
SD card.
Bluetooth device, B.
And we're back to Bluetooth device. Now, depending on what you have on your computer will depend on what options you have here. So you may have fewer or more depending on your device.
I'm going to go to my SD card.
Secure digital storage device, DS.
Because, you know, this file is so important.
Yes.
I need to make a backup of it.
Absolutely. You need to know your name.
Test window. 0% complete. Copying one item from test to secure digital storage device, D. 2% complete grouping. Pause the operation checkbox unavailable, not checked, read only, pause the operation.
And it has copied it to the SD card. So the only thing I have on my SD card, or one of the very few things I would have on this SD card, would be this names file. So let's talk a second about actual backing up.
Just one second before you do that. It probably copied that directly to the root of your SD card. So if you need to find it, that's where it'll live.
Exactly. It's not in a folder anywhere. No. It's just there. But let's talk a second about backups. So now I have a backup of my names file. If I were to delete my name's file right here, because we're still in the test folder, then I would only have one file, which is no longer a backup. So a backup is two or more of the same file somewhere else other than on your computer. So let's say that I deleted my name's file out of test, and a year later, I needed to access that file. And I find my SD card, and I put my SD card in because this SD card was the only place that I had this file on it. And I put the SD card into my computer, any computer, and for whatever reason, the file is gone. The SD card got corrupt. It got put in the washer machine or whatever. That file is gone forever. So it's just something to keep in mind that you want to back your stuff up, stuff that's vital for your usage. You can do that to OneDrive. You know, you can copy files off to OneDrive. You can copy them off to Google Drive. You can do Dropbox. You can do a number of different ways. You can put them on external hard drives. But just remember, one is not a backup. So if you have a hard drive and this is my backup drive and you connect your hard drive and you cut that file over to your hard drive, that's no longer a backup. Just because it's your, quote, backup drive doesn't mean that it's a backup if there's only one file that you have.
Let me give you a scary example of this. I had an external hard drive and I had my life on it. And one day it stopped working. That was my, quote, backup. Would not work. I was freaking out. I had gigs and gigs and gigs and gigs. I think it was a terabyte or 2 terabytes, but it was almost full. It had my whole life in it. 10 years worth of files and documents and programs I had purchased and digital stuff and books and just everything. So I was terror stricken that I had lost everything. And fortunately for me, it was the power supply for the drive that died. And replacing the power supply brought my drive back to life. Had it not, I would have been in a world of hurt because I would have lost everything. So you have to take this to heart if you're going to make sure that your items are going to be there for you when you need them.
Exactly. And, you know, when you plugged in that hard drive and it was trying to start up and it was making these weird sounds and you're like, oh, this hard drive is probably dead. But, you know, there could have been a lot of things wrong with that drive. It could have been the USB connection. It could have been the drive itself. It could have been the controller in the drive to tell the drive to start up. But luckily, it literally was as much as just replacing the power supply.
It was a $10 fix. And right. I was willing to spend, I didn't have a lot of money, but I was willing to spend up to $1,000, up to $1,000 to make sure that I could recover at least something in that drive. And when I actually saw how much stuff was on the drive, it was about 3 times as much as I thought. And I thought, oh my gosh, that would have hurt a lot.
I've been through hard drive crashes too. I had my whole life on what's called a network attached storage device, which is a group of drives in a box. And you connect it to your network and your computer sees it as external storage because that's what it is. And the hard drives or the little box decided to catch on fire, which destroyed all the contents of all 4 of the drives that were in it. And that was my backup. And I lost all that stuff. I mean, I had some stuff in other places, but there are things that were totally irreplaceable that were sitting on that drive that I had never copied somewhere else, moved into a cloud storage, copied onto whatever. It doesn't matter. But it's one of those things where you want to make sure that you back up your computer because hard lessons can be learned and you don't think about it until that lesson is learned. I know somebody who lost about 1.5 years worth of their kids' photos because they had it on an external drive and nowhere else. And the external drive died. And that was the end of those photos. She never got them back.
So think of your backups like an insurance policy for your stuff. You might have insurance on your house. So if your house, God forbid, something happens, burns down, you lose everything. You can't replace those memories and a lot of those items, but you at least have the financial ability to recover them. When you are putting things on external drives or in some kind of service or application to back them up, it's like your insurance policy for all your digital life.
And if you have your stuff backed up into cloud services, it's always good to have it on multiple cloud services. So let's say that I've got my life in Dropbox. Tomorrow, Dropbox decides that they're out of business. There goes all my stuff. It's gone. So you want to make sure that you have it either in multiple cloud services, external hard drives. Just make sure that you have your stuff backed up. It's very important. And you won't know the feeling of losing something until you actually do lose it.
No, it's a dreadful feeling, and we don't want you to have to go through that. But going back to a slightly lighter subject, with file management, it allows you to organize the stuff that you do have. So let's say you have a documents folder and you have 500 files in it. Well, that is probably a mess, and you probably don't know how to get to any of the things in that folder because you may not know all their names. So maybe you want to categorize them into folders like work documents, kids' stories, great American novel chapters, recipes, tax documents, whatever it is for you. You want to make sure that you can find stuff relatively easily. Not only can you have a group of folders, you can have subfolders within those folders. So let's say, I always use recipes because it's a good example, you have a recipes folder. And let's say in there you have cookies, casseroles, cakes, and pies. And in that group of subfolders, you might have chicken casserole, potato casserole, breakfast casserole, etc. So you have all these options that you can then narrow down. And you can do this any way you want. It's just an example. You can customize things in ways that help you to find things most easily. Back in the days of CDs, I used to have all my CDs in alphabetical order. That's how I found them. That's how I knew where they were. But before that, I had them in chronological order. The first ones I got to the last ones I got. And somehow that was, at one time in my life when I was much younger, a system that worked for me. Could not do that now. But it used to work for me back in the day. So you can find ways to make file categorization and organization work for you. And folders is just one way to make that happen.
Let's say that you need to collect tax receipts. So you could have a folder in your documents called taxes. In that folder, you could have years, 2019, 2020, 2021, 2022. In those folders, you could have January, February, March. So now you know that, okay, if I'm looking for a specific receipt and I knew it was like in March of 2021, I could go to my taxes folder, then find 2021, then find March, and scroll through all those receipts within the March folder until I find the receipt that you need.
The other way you could do that is instead of having months, you could have them in categories like computer equipment, office supplies, restaurant receipts, things like that.
And it depends on how you want to manage your digital life. For me, I wouldn't put them in categories like that because I would want them in different years. Because if you have tax receipts for computer equipment and then you have 10 years worth of receipts in that folder, it'd be like, oh, yikes. Okay.
Well, that's not what I meant, though. I meant have them in 2021, but then in 2021, rather than having months, have categories.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. That's how I would do it.
So we're still in our test folder. And in order to get out of our test folder, we can press Alt left arrow. So we would press Alt and then we would press 390. So let's do this now. So we're going to do Alt.
Alt pressed.
And then 390.
Items view list. Test 9 of 11.
So now we're back in your documents folder.
And we're pointing to test. And if you notice, test is now 9 of 11. So test is no longer 11 of 11 because it refreshed when I came back to it and it put it in alphabetical order. So now I've got my names file in two places. I've got it in my documents folder proper, and then I've got it in the test folder. And technically, I've got it also on the SD card. So I have it in three places.
Let's say you want to delete the names.rtf document from right here in the root of the documents folder.
I would go to it. I could use first letter navigation. So let me press N.
Names.rtf 11 of 11.
Now I can press 90D and that will delete.
Tools and drivers not selected 10 of 10.
It's gone.
Now note that it didn't ask you whether or not, are you sure? Are you very, very sure? That is a setting that you can, in fact, change. We show you how to do it in the Windows 10 tutorial. But this gives us an excuse to revisit Recycle Bin, because it's worth showing you what happens if you do that and you don't have a confirmation dialog set, and all of a sudden you say, oops, didn't mean to do that. Let's show you how to fix that.
I'm going to go to the desktop.
Folder view list. Dropbox 1 of 16.
And now I'm going to go to the Recycle Bin. So I'm going to press R.
R. Recycle Bin 6 of 16.
Press Enter.
Recycle bin window. Items view list. Inside one not selected, one of two.
And we have two things in here.
Yes, we have inside one, whatever that is. It's something that was called inside one that was on this machine at one time. Now I'm going to go down.
Names.rtf, two of two.
Now, there is names.rtf. How do you manipulate this from here? Well, we can go back into our trusty context menu.
Context menu.
That was M with 90. Now I'm going to down arrow.
Restore.
We can restore it, and that will restore it to the root of documents because that is the location from which we deleted it initially.
Cut T.
We can cut it.
Delete D.
Delete it.
Properties R.
See its properties.
Restore.
And we're back to restore. The other thing we can do in the recycle bin, if we wish to, if we want to empty everything in the recycle bin, is we can select everything with Control A and then use 90D to delete all the items in the recycle bin. So we want to make sure we never see them again. That is how we do it.
What I'm going to do, though, is I'm going to restore this because I want my document back. So I'm going to press Enter on Restore.
Recycle bin window. Items view list. Inside one not selected, one of one.
And notice now there's only one folder in the recycle bin folder.
And because I didn't close my documents window, it's actually still open.
You can Alt-Tab.
I can. So I'm swiping across
documents the window. Items view list.
Button.
Tools and drivers not selected, 10 of 11.
And now it says 10 of 11. So if I go down.
Names.rtf, 11 of 11.
There it is again.
Now, if we want to verify, although we did say documents, but if we want to verify that, yes, I am in fact in my documents folder, I can press Insert T. And that will read my title bar of my window. So we're going to do that now.
Dot pressed. Documents.
It says documents.
So this is just a relatively brief lesson on file management because we wanted to show you some tips and tricks specifically using the Inside One and its built-in embedded keyboard. For much more on this, please see the Windows 10 audio documentation.
So I'm going to close my documents folder.
All pressed.
F4.
Recycle bin window. Items view list. Inside one not selected, one of one.
And because I alt-tabbed off or moved away from recycle bin, it brought me back into the recycle bin. So I didn't close it. I actually just moved away from it. So I can press Alt-F4 again.
All pressed. Taskbar.
And we
have closed the recycle bin. So it put us on the taskbar.